Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to the WrestleMania Night 2 preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Michael Hamflett from What Culture to look ahead to tonight's second night of WrestleMania. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW. We have pay-per-views, interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to night two of WrestleMania. And what an incredible first night of WrestleMania. I'm joking. We're recording this on Friday. I have no idea what happened. But yes, how are you feeling about night two of WrestleMania, Hamflett?
Feeling pretty great. Buoyant already based on how well you did with your new podcast introduction. The Wednesday night wars are over, but the WrestleMania night wars have begun. Ugh, come on, night one, we'll take you on. We're going to be well better here on night two. I'm in favour. Who isn't in favour of WrestleMania becoming two nights, regardless of the pandemic? It would be lovely to think of next year's event taking place in normal circumstances and WWE making the decision to split it into two nights there as well. That's a podcast for another day, because it's hard to imagine them drawing, I don't know what it would need to be, like 160,000 people. But in the stadiums, half filled or whatever, like, this is great. This might be the only time we get stadium atmosphere WrestleMania split into 2 3-hour shows instead of 1 6-to-8-hour one. And I think that really is something to savor. Again, we're recording this before night one. So for all I know, night one was a dreadful slog and now we've all got to do it all over again. But let's just assume that it's been pretty great. I am looking at this, and this is going to sound like I'm ripping the piss, and I promise I'm not. You know what this weekend is, Wilborn? It's like double Payback or double Clash of Champions. I love those daft little Sunday 3-hour shows. They never outstay their welcome. They've always got at least one thing on the card that you enjoy. There's normally something really silly that you can rip the piss out of and have a bit of fun with online. And fully anticipate WrestleMania to offer lashings of both across both evenings. I'm going to preview stuff with you here that I'm earnestly excited about. And then one thing in particular that I cannot wait for. I've got a smile wider than the original Fiend mask itself over how preposterous it could be. It's not bad, this 2 3-hour show crack. It really isn't.
Yeah, exactly. I'd much rather have two nights with 7 matches on each night than one night with 14 and all the kickoff bollocks that would go with that. So, of course, last night, the reuniting of the Iconics. Fantastic. We don't know who's going to win the tag team turmoil match. So I'll just ask you vaguely around that. Do you think whoever it is who wins tag team turmoil on night one will defeat Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler on night two?
Yes, I do. Because WWE... It is stupid when somebody wins a gauntlet and then one night later does not win the title that they earned the shot of in the gauntlet. It's really stupid. It's really lame booking. And I really wouldn't like to see it hypothetically in WrestleMania week. So I certainly don't want to see it at WrestleMania itself. There's two things here as well. Not just the element of surprise of who it might be as the extra team or teams. We're recording this not just before WrestleMania Night 1, but before SmackDown.
Yes.
So the graphic that was hastily added on Monday that was then taken off, maybe hastily added again after SmackDown, of Carmella and Billy Kay. It might not be Carmella and Billy Kay, might it? It might be Baymella. It might be the Iconics. It might be Charlotte Flair. Who can say? But I just feel like everybody else in the match, with no disrespect intended to any of the teams, haven't been booked like winners.
You did a great comparison the other day, I think it was, when it might have been not even when we were recording, about when they had all the teams in that big tag team match. It was like Enzo and Cass, and I think The Bar and Gallows and Anderson.
Good brothers, yeah.
Yeah, and and it was like, yeah, it's good, but I don't buy any of them winning this match. And then the Hardy Boys.
The Hardy Boys, oh, yeah. It's just all of them don't feel like winners, ultimately. The last thing you want is for, and I'll pick a team out of thin air, Lana and Naomi to win a tag team turmoil match and for you to be like, oh, yeah, that was a really good effort. To just then lose to Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. None of that is very WrestleMania, is it? Whereas a two-night streak where you've got 24 hours to figure out the buzz, if indeed any buzz is generated by the mystery team, enjoy that buzz and then transfer that onto the actual title match itself. And if nothing else, make it a WrestleMania moment in itself that Shayna Baszler strangles Reginald and finally brings to an end her team with Nia Jax. Wouldn't that be great?
You can already see it now. We're going to be sat there on Saturday night. One, two, three. It's Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. Oh, bollocks. It's ruined the preview now. Matches we can talk about, which, fingers crossed, hopefully won't have changed, include, and again, this is kind of potentially outdated, what the hell is a Nigerian drum fight?
Well, after what Apollo Crews explained to us on SmackDown about it, I, for one, did not imagine that wrestlers could come out with drums already on their heads, like what Drew and Sheamus did with the steel stairs, but I guess it's a match. I've never seen it. I went looking on Cage Match and I went to see it, and I was shocked, as you were watching it, that that was going to be the stipulation. I thought, well, I started thinking about like the tail of the tape. I was like, well, Big E's not as tall as Apollo, so how is he going to sustain the drum on his head as well as Apollo? But they're going to run into each other. It's a best of three charging contest. I'd have thought it'd have been a pinfall submission myself, but there we go. Charging into each other, best of three, first drum to fall off the head loses. Look, it's Apollo Crews that pitched it. He must have experience in the field, fair play to him. I hope they've been working on the traps, because you can only imagine how much pressure that must be when the drum forces down it with another drum is pointing at your head. All right, we've done enough of that. I'm sorry.
I really hope.
And now you've into the ground, haven't I?
You've planted this in my head. You know the end battle every week on Takeshi's Castle. The paper thing above their car or whatever it was they were driving. It's that, but it's the drum. It's break the skin of a drum. You win the Intercontinental Championship.
Just got to punch through it. The hardest hitter wins.
Look, we don't know what it is, but
street fight with gimmicks, isn't it?
Yeah,
street fight with gimmicks.
We can guess, like I said, that you say. And who leaves as IC champion? I feel like it's Apollo Crews' time, as much as I bloody love Big E.
Got to be Crews, isn't it? It's got to be Crews. He's lost the first five. It's the age old. But it really does have to be Apollo Crews. This character, if it stands a chance of getting over long term rather than just being this strange chapter in Apollo Crews' career, kind of needs that win now. It hasn't. Is he undefeated in this gimmick? He's not, is he? Because he did lose that match technically at Fastlane. And the finish was so bizarre and confusing.
Forget.
It's kind of worked. It's kind of, because I feel as if this character is relatively untainted. It's not been perfect, this Apollo Crews thing, but one of the things I'd like them to have done a bit more of is have Big E get a bit like frustrated with the gimmick change. It's absolutely fine for Apollo as a heel to do this accent and to do this gimmick. As long as the baby faces acknowledge, why are you doing this, mate? Like, why are you putting on this voice? Why are you doing all this? You're an all right guy, and now you're going down this route. But they're not. They're just kind of accepting it. Like, they're just sort of saying, oh, that's Apollo Crews now. That's fine. I work in a nonsensical circus. That's just the way it is this week. So I would love, the beauty of this Nigerian drum fight, if there indeed is one, is for Big E to sort of look around it. Like, Big E's this fantastic face actor anyway. Look around at all of it and think, Jesus Christ, what have I been dragged into here? Well, I'm strong and I'm hard as nails, so I'll just batter him anyway. And then it to become a fight. I want to worry more about the fight than I do the Nigerian drums, ultimately. And if Apollo Crews wins that fight, then you have gone somewhere to making his character credible. I do think he will win.
Yeah, I love Big E, obviously, friend of the channel and all that. But I feel like he's done if you don't give Apollo Crews the Intercontinental Championship off the back of this. And and if anyone can sell the slight comedy of this match, at the time of recording, he doesn't even know what it is. And then transition, as we've seen him do on SmackDown on numerous occasions, from that to, right, I'm going to kick your head in now. It's Big E. From one mid-card championship to the other, United States champion Riddle defends against Sheamus on night two. I feel like Sheamus has to win this purely as a reward for how sensational he's been since the start of the year.
So, yeah, I agree. I think Sheamus is on an unbelievable run. Maybe the best of his whole WWE career, actually, genuinely, in terms of match quality, in terms of the character, in terms of the connection that I feel like he would have genuinely drawn with audiences had there been crowds in the Thunderdome. This would reflect the most over Sheamus has ever been, heel or babyface, including like a really great tag run in the bar as well. He's doing more here. Again, we talked about it a lot. We kind of lamented his timing, really, didn't we? Like, there were, you could have, an alternate timeline could have had Sheamus in a main event on one of these WrestleManias, and it just hasn't quite worked out that way for him. This is going to slightly spoil a couple of other predictions in this podcast. I have looked up and down this card for an article I did for whatculture.com, and I think every belt is changing hands. And I think that will be a little bit of history that they get to tout about after the fact. Not tout on social media, that doesn't exist anymore. But be able to say, oh, the first WrestleMania back with crowds, and every champion lost it. Like, history was made. I need to rack my brains to think if that's ever happened before. But all the titles online, I think, are going to switch, and this one, no different. Riddle is insufferable. The best thing about that scooter is when Sheamus jammed it half up his arse or pushed him clean off it from out of shot. He's got this one coming, and I get no great joy from saying this, I think Vince McMahon really likes him. So he will see Riddle losing the United States title as a defeat upwards, not least when we're so close to a Money in the Bank that he could be one of the favourites to win.
Oh, that's a hell of a shout. Maybe having that scooter rammed up his arse dislodged all the birds that fly out of it.
The berserk.
Our fantasy booking, your fantasy booking for this was quite a quick match.
Bro. Brogue kick. 17 seconds. So he's done it even quicker than he did Daniel Bryan, just because it's extra cruel. In and out. Although, having said that, I make it fairly clear once a week what I think of having to try and emotionally invest in Matt Riddle. He's been in some pretty amazing form against Ali, and Sheamus is total sweaty giant body beef slappers with Drew were a work of art. So if they do go 15 minutes or something, it'll probably be pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. I think if they decide to just, you know, have this hard-hitting affair as Riddle tries to overcome Sheamus, who I believe, Sheamus beat him in a non-title match on Raw a few weeks ago as well. I think they could have a really, really enjoyable match. But regardless, and I think Riddle's an incredibly talented performer if you put all the outside the ring stuff, so we have to say so often performers, put that to one side, he's insanely talented. And like you say, Vince McMahon clearly is a big fan, so much so that when he forgot his lines the other week, Vince was like, brilliant stuff. Talk about underground fighting Japanese robots, etc., etc. I think you're right. I think that may be one of the reasons why we see Sheamus leave as United States champion, along with a lot of other people leaving with their new belts, like you say. Let's talk about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. The build to this has been surreal, to say the least. Logan Paul is going to be allegedly at ringside. Since this is probably going to be one of the matches of the night, if not the weekend, is it also going to feature an involvement of someone like Logan Paul, perhaps?
Yes, I think so. It's bizarre, this. I almost feel as though Logan Paul's presence in this whole thing has been undersold by WWE. Like, we know full well Bad Bunny is working, and we know at least a little bit about Logan Paul's going to be at WrestleMania, but he's a major star. What I like about Logan Paul and Bad Bunny being on this card, by the way, is WWE attempting, I don't know how well it's going to work, but attempting to address their demographic issues. It's really odd, isn't it, that like AEW signed the celebrities that for the old guys and WWE signed the ones for the young crowd. They're both using celebrities to try and appeal to the demos that they haven't quite yet pulled in. So I quite like that they've gone, they're skewed younger. Like, I'm 35 years old, and most people would assume it's much, much older than that. I shouldn't necessarily know a great deal about Logan Paul, but the people that WWE should be targeting do. What I do know is that I don't have to like him. Kevin Owens told me that on the SmackDown, the penultimate SmackDown before WrestleMania. And Kevin Owens is somebody I do know and somebody I do put my trust and faith behind. I would expect Logan Paul, either through miscommunication or an intentional, I'm kind of sick of hanging out with Sami Zayn, do something that results in Sami Zayn getting beaten by Kevin Owens, possibly with a pop-up powerbomb, because you saved the stunner for Logan Paul himself. people enjoy selling Stone Cold Stunners. They're going to want a gif of Logan Paul getting physically involved for the socials. I can see no better sort of bit of corporate synergy than Owens dropping Logan Paul with the stunner for that kind of WrestleMania celebrity involvement. What I would love even more than that, would be for Owens to drop one on him and then for him to pick him up again to do the old sort of, yeah, all right, frame him up, I'm about to do the second one, and then have the glass smash and just give one to Steve Austin for the crack while he's the talk of the WWE town with his Chris Jericho interview this weekend. Wouldn't that be like a nice bonus sort of celebrity wrestler cameo for the night? Steve Austin.
Why are you listening to this historic age-old problem of booking stuff? And then we're going to go, bloody WWE didn't do what we said they should do.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, the engagement of Steve Austin stunning Logan Paul.
Oh, yes, please.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right. Let's look at the final three matches on the card. I think you can tell what I'm saving for dessert. So let's instead talk about Asuka versus Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's Championship. It was all going so well until Raw this week. But despite that, despite the little can they coexist storyline, it's still not been as buggered up as they did for Sasha and Bianca for 2 months until they finally got it right, or 3 months until they finally got it right towards the end. Yeah, like you say, I think Rhea Ripley has to leave WrestleMania as Raw Women's Champion, doesn't she?
She does. It'll be obviously her redemption arc, which she's not done a very good job of revisiting, I don't think, considering that if the goal was to put her in a women's title match, and then from what we've heard, Charlotte Flair was supposed to be in it. Rhea Ripley seemed to believe that she thought Charlotte Flair would get inserted into it. It's odd that they've not really revisited the fact that it went wrong for last year and it's going to come good for this year. I got to be honest, right? It may not seem it because of the piped-in Thunderdome chants, you know, the boo.wav or whatever. If you take out the tag team partners that can't get along and the fact that Rhea Ripley's not great at delivering the scripted material yet, she's only very young, so she's got loads of time to improve. I think it's been pretty effective in taking her in like a different direction from 2020. Mm-hmm. Ripley as a babyface in 2020 was the figure of a woman where everything had just gone wrong. She lost the title at WrestleMania. She couldn't win it back on NXT. She lost some pretty substantial matches. She got sidelined in a kind of a comedy feud. Things weren't going well. So it stands to reason that she would turn heel and she would target the top of the tree on Raw. Like, fundamentally, the bones of this are really good. You bring Rhea Ripley back. She's an edgier Rhea Ripley. She turns on Asuka. She challenges Asuka. She beats Asuka. All of that, when you map it out like that, is pretty straightforward. It's just in some of the execution and some of the way it's played out that I don't think it's worked. And again, I think the Thunderdome aesthetic really harms it because they can't decide what button to even press for a half time. Can't read what character is. But I just think if you take the bones of it, I think there was probably something good there. Asuka's kind of a bit of an unfortunate passenger in this, but the women's division on Raw has been booked horrifically for months. So with the greatest respect to her, and I couldn't mean that more, love Asuka, probably is time to freshen up the top of it. And it like is going to suit Rhea Ripley's trajectory to win this belt. I hope for their sake, because they deserve the plaudits. The match is great. I hope the match is really, really good, because both of them, like, are not in the most favourable of positions here. I don't expect this to be a spotlighted match. We can all hope it appears high up the card, but who's to say it will? All of it's a little bit... It's not the top kind of everybody's lips for WrestleMania weekend. It's just not one of those matches. But I think they could make it one in the aftermath.
Yeah, I think it could be one that everyone is talking about after this weekend. Whilst we're on the subject, actually, and whilst I remember, me and Andy talked a bit about this yesterday, maybe more for understandable reasons because it's night one and it's the first thing of fans being in attendance. But who do you think comes out first, not in that match, but just generally, for night two of WrestleMania? Because still that could be a whole new collective of fans being in attendance and, you know, wanting that huge pop.
Yeah, I don't know who you guys landed on for night one. I've got real, real worries about it being Hulk Hogan. That's because I just think it wouldn't be earned, would it? It wouldn't be earned at all. But I could see it being Hulk Hogan. Night two, they could probably do worse than Kevin Owens, you know?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, it's a hot opener. Kevin, like, I love that feeling, you know, when Kevin Owens is really fired up when he's walking to the ring, like, that he's going to get that back off the audience. His music has got that, like, and I've been, Christ, War Games 2019 in Chicago. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. The sting of that music hitting for a crowd that wants to pop for him. I think I'll go with that.
And as much as he's meant to be the heel of this match, Sami Zayn's theme always gets you going.
Oh, completely. Like him, he's going to get to dance down that giant aisle again. It's been too long. Like, he's going to be bouncing and skanking all over the shop because he's just got so much space to play with.
Yeah, I think that's the one, isn't it? I have a feeling it might be Riddle, but...
Possibly. I looked at Riddle as well, and then I thought, well, actually, I just want this nice thing for nice people. And I like that. I want it for him instead.
Oh, God, maybe it will be Riddle, and then they'll release actual birds in the arena.
No, man, honestly, can you imagine if they've got them like all trapped under the ring and then they come out and they're all like, because they've been like boxed in, because it's WWE, they've been in there since like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and they're just completely like sort of febrile and it becomes like the birds, like Hitchcock, and it's just this nightmare scene. The first time we got fans back in, oh, and they're having their eyes pecked out by Matt Riddle's doves.
Or they all like WrestleMania 35 and instead of planes flying over, they had helicopters, they just fly straight up into the rotors. Oh no!
They're all, somebody meant to order doves and they got parrots by mistake. So you've just got, bro, 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 bro.
Release the doves, accidentally kills one of them with his flip-flop flying. There he goes.
Like that really old, it wasn't even viral because it wasn't even YouTube. It was probably on frigging Napster or something. That clip of that, like, baseball pitcher hitting.
Yes.
Passing bird on the ball.
It just explodes into some feathers.
Oh, man. No animals were harmed. Please, RSPB, if this podcast is reported to you, no animals were harmed in the making of this. Nor did we suggest it should happen.
No, if anything, this podcast promotes animal procreation. Well, fly shagging, to be perfectly specific.
And I'm a big fan of not having Pharaoh at AEW pay-per-views. I want that made perfectly clear.
Right, before we get to our main event, let's talk about the main event, that being the Universal Championship match, Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan. I cannot wait for this match. I do not care if you think, oh, they've bungled Edge and they've botched it and they've had to change everything and this was never the plan and blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I don't care. It's not about the journey. It's about the destination. We're getting Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan. Think about how unlikely this match would have been 2 years ago, 4 years ago. Like, oh my God, it's insane. And as we've spoken about a lot, it is impossible to call. Roman Reigns versus Edge, Roman Reigns leaves as Universal Champion. Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan, toss a three-sided coin. I don't know. Like, there's a genuine part of me. You know, normally, I'd sit here and go, it's between Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. But it's not, is it? Because Edge is the ultimate opportunist for a reason.
Think about how unlikely this match was 3 years ago. Think about how unlikely it was 3 months ago.
Yes.
Edge was pointing at the sign. He'd won the Royal Rumble. The hard work was done. Like, at that point, you didn't need to consider that Daniel... I wanted it. I think I called Daniel Bryan to win the Rumble. Like, but think about how you didn't need to consider Bryan and the title match anymore because Edge had won it. It was done. And yet, you know, it's March, it's April, whatever it is. And here we rated R at WrestleMania, and we've landed on a triple threat. yes, that joke was lame, but it was only as lame as the story that's got us here in the first place. It's been a bit silly, as you pointed out. I think, like, if we didn't, we maybe wouldn't be honouring our reputations if we didn't say it's kind of been a bit daft. But I will say this, as Edge, miserable bastard as he is, that wonderful smile that he flashes, as that started to droop, Daniel Bryan's pointing upwards in almost direct synergy with it has been quite something to experience. Like, those weeks, almost when it was a bit of like an awkward whisper behind the bike sheds, I felt like when we were previewing SmackDown, I felt like, get close to the camera and like, hold on, is Daniel Bryan getting more over an Edge? And we're going to WrestleMania. If there were crowds in the building, would Edge be getting booed by now? And somehow, WWE, after in 2013, not listening to literally thousands and thousands of people saying, push Daniel Bryan, have instead listened to nobody but a Thunderdome and thought, we need to push Daniel Bryan. I don't know how it's happened, but it has happened. And maybe that's what we should celebrate. You know, the Elimination Chamber, near miss for Daniel Bryan. That gorgeous capture into the yes lock of Roman Reigns. We all thought, let's be honest, we all thought that only existed to set up a Fastlane rematch. Like, even then, we just thought, oh, this is because Roman needs something to do at Fastlane.
Yeah.
Nothing more, nothing less. And now here we are, we're talking about it. You're right. It kind of doesn't, now we're here, it really doesn't matter how bad the journey was. It doesn't matter how many times in the car, myself or Sidgwick in the front seat said, do that again, and we're turning this car around, right? It doesn't, because the end destination is going to be every single pair of hands in that 25,000 throng pointing the fingers upwards. Mm. And all of us wondering, how the frig Daniel Bryan is Universal Champion? WrestleMania, this surely attempt at a feel-good moment in the darkest of times has got to end that way. Does it not? Like, as much as I agree with it, it's hard to call. Sorry, I'm going to steal your bit.
Give in.
It's got to be Bryan. It's got to be.
Jimmy Uso returns and Roman Reigns retains. That's right. No, I'm joking. I'm just stealing your bit. Yeah, for me, if I'm booking this, 100% Daniel Bryan retains, pinning or submitting Edge, of course, because Roman Reigns doesn't have to be kept strong. But, if you want this story to go on, and I want this story to go on, and, yeah, it's just right there. Just let's just have it.
Edge loses, and on SmackDown, he's all full of grit, and he's staring at his hands, isn't he? Because, he had this opportunity. He used to be the ultimate opportunist. Nobody was better at claiming opportunities than Edge, and he had one, and he's blown it. And how can he get close to Daniel Bryan again? If only there was a pay-per-view coming up next month that Edge had a history with that gives somebody an ultimate opportunity, Adam Wilborn. If only that was available to Edge.
It's really...
A newly heel-turned, desperate Edge.
Sometimes it's so easy to book wrestling. Really, I don't know what they... All these people are doing. I think I spoke about this with Andy when we were talking about the build yesterday between Sasha and Bianca. Sometimes, like there's footballers where you think if the ball just comes to them, they'll score. If they get 10 seconds to think about where they're going to kick the football, they're going to miss. WWE does that all the time. They have time to think about something. They'll second guess themselves so much they'll mess it up. Just impulsively, there's a reason why you were the only company left. Because you did the right decisions, or you used to. So, yeah, Daniel Bryan wins. He pins Edge. Roman Reigns is furious. Maybe even Roman Reigns does the old Brock Lesnar and gets himself suspended on the SmackDown after WrestleMania to hold that off until, let's be honest, Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan in a packed SummerSlam. Just print money, lads. Just print it. Print it and print it and print it. And let's have Daniel Bryan have some good title defenses against... Just fun. Just have Cesaro face him because we can. Because you can. You can just have that because it's not going to be the big money match for Money in the Bank because that's Money in the Bank, isn't it? And that's going to have Edge in it like we've just booked. It's a piece of piss sometimes, Vince. Jesus Christ.
WWE is a joke told by a committee. One person asks, why did the chicken cross the road? And by the time we get to the punchline, the road is a train track and the chicken is a dove that is in fact a parrot that can only say bro. that's what happens. It's just how the company functions.
Why did the dove parrot cross the road? Right.
Which you'd never find the punchline out because Matt Riddle forgets the words.
Right, you've been good, so you can have your treat. It's The Fiend and Randy Orton. Honestly, outside of Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan, this was the match I was like, they better put that on the Sunday for me and Phil to be able to do the live stream for. And we've got it. And at the time of recording, it just says singles match. Like, they've gone to the point of saying Nigerian drum fight for the Intercontinental Championship match. And then we're going to have a... I almost swore then. Catch as catch can between The Fiend and Randy Orton.
I love so much that you've used this dessert analogy as well. Because it's a bit like, oh, I'm pretty full. Have you got space for a bit of dessert? Oh, hang on, let me just go to the toilet and see if I can clear out some black goo. Make some space in my stomach. It is... We have talked the back arse off this match and the potential silliness that could go down in it. Well, for 6 months, because that's how long the story's been in place, right? That it's almost intimidating at this point to try and fantasy book or fantasy joke just what will actually happen in this match. The only way, and this is great, man. Like, I love that you've looked at the Wikipedia to check the listing just every day, desperately hoping for that word in to change. That word in not changing, is the only way The Fiend versus Randy Orton can fail. If that wording remains the same, like, whatever, think back to WrestleMania 33 in the insect production.
Don't make me do this.
Right. Think about that match, right? The only reason that was really just had the piss ripped out of it, because yes, the insect thing was stupid, right? It was really stupid. But the only reason that really had the piss ripped out of it is because, like, after all they'd done to Bray Wyatt, he just won the WWE title and people had invested in him again. And people had thought, like, it was a bit of a Hail Mary, wasn't it?
Hmm.
I was like, well, they've put the belt on him, so maybe this is a proper, like, extra life. It's a continue in a video game. Like, nobody knew that he had it in him, and he's won the belt.
Yes.
But it's like, so that was the proper, like, oh, fine, we will invest. Frigging maggots on the screen, and Randy Orton pinned him in 9 minutes. Without, like, in your soul, Bray's magic. And that was why that match had the piss taken out of it, not just for what happened, but for what it meant, what like the underbelly. Like, nobody invests in Bray Wyatt like that anymore. He's a fucking half-cooked lobster. With a girlfriend that's been aged down to childhood, right? Randy Orton, like, he's been burned alive. You cannot slap a hold on the guy you've burned alive. You can't.
Like, no.
The referee cannot check the knee pads of a burned girl. Like, none of this can exist in the confines of the dreaded singles match. Like, it cannot be. And worst of all, it can, because it's WWE, and he might just wrestle in that thing. And Randy Orton might be expected to try and grab that giant fiend head in a headlock, or like an arm wringer with a lobster claw, or Christ knows what. I welcome this going 5 minutes in front of a live crowd while they try to make sense of what they're looking at, and then them falling in a hole in the ring in the corner. And the second half of the match taking place ostensibly under the ring, but in fact on the screen in something cinematic, resembling the closing moments of John Cena's Firefly Funhouse experience. I have resigned myself to accepting that we're not going to get Randy Orton living through his career again, even though what a brilliant candidate for that he would have been.
Oh.
I've accepted that we're not getting that. What I want.
I'm still holding out hope. I'm still holding out hope.
What I desperately want is for them to go as stupid as they can. And, like, think of the ground that covers. Like, whatever. This is the example where, for once, it's the stop clock being right once every 20 years. Like, for once, this company's process can actually work. Have you got something you can say stupid in a writer's room? Yes. Insert it in a match.
Yeah.
You got 20 things. I got 50 things. Put them all in. Like, the wronger you think you're going, the more right this match will feel.
Yeah, like you say, it's impossible to book this unless you're just booking the singles match, which is just insane.
It's so funny. I just think, like, I keep thinking of, like, The Fiend pushing out of a move to hit him with, like, Sister Abigail, RKO. He burned him to death.
Let's have what, like you say, what I want is the Firefly Funhouse match. And I've always said this, when people say, oh, you can't do that, you can't do cinematic matches because people who are paying would be pissed off in their attendance. No, I'd be pissed off if I paid to go to WrestleMania. Yeah. Like, give me a bloody cinematic match between these two for 6 months investment, for Christ's sake. let's book one thing each, right? And I think if they're not going to do the Randy Orton career retrospective, which they should do the WrestleMania retrospective, right? So I'm just going to go for the first WrestleMania meme that pops into my head, right? And that is, a la, I want to say WrestleMania 24, but I might not be right. But anyway, you'll probably be able to tell me about this. What if Ramblin' Rabbit did the Charles Robinson running referee spot? Is that 24? I can't remember what it was from.
That's 24. If they put Charles Robinson in one of their morph suits and it's green, even though he's not against the green screen, and he's running down with Ramblin' Rabbit on his hand.
Actually, obviously, you do Huskus the Pig Boy if you're going to do the running spot. It's a little fatty.
I like that. I would campaign. I really want the under the ring or similar adjacent area where this fight goes down. I want Randy Orton to chase the Fiend down the slide that's in Alexa's playground, which has been made extra slippy by the black goo. Randy Orton to stay in the back of his trunks with black goo, because for the first time in his career, he's actually gone with white.
I can't believe the amount. It's like all converging. I must feel how like Ewan felt when like Avengers got to its big finale. There's so much stuff they're going to try and cram in, and you're like, I'm glad I'm not in charge of this because I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe, right? Randy Orton, obviously, it's just a singles match, right? Randy Orton RKOs the Fiend once, because obviously it's the RKO. Who bloody needs any more than that, right? One, two, referee's hands coming down for three, right? But the black goo comes out, it's like flubber, and the referee hits it and flies out the stadium.
Flubber. Fucking flubber, man. I cannot believe 13 months without a live crowd. The last show that we will preview to feature this after 13 months. It's like, we're going out with flubber. I'm trying to remember how it must have felt like watching that SmackDown where Bayley and Sasha opened it and Triple H was like bullying Michael Cole, and we're all just trying to make the best of it and fight back tears. Like, if I could do a flash forward then, what are we going to be talking about when Normal's coming back? Well, one's going to invoke flubber for the one. Cool. And like the best thing about this is that the Fiend's got to win, right? Bray Wyatt's got to win.
Oh, yeah.
So for all your very logical talk of, you know, Daniel Bryan taps out Edge because that lines up Roman Reigns, doesn't it? Check the win-loss records, pal. I think you'll find that the Fiend is the number one contender.
God, imagine if the Fiend wins Money in the Bank. There's the cash in the briefcase, but it's on fire and the referee won't take it off.
Opens the case, it's just full of goo.
Opens the case, it's just ash where the Money in the Bank contract's gone. We can't cash this in, mate. Sorry. Either way, join myself and Michael Hamflett in the small hours of tomorrow morning to review everything that happened. I genuinely might have to put a little censorship thing on, because if we don't get what we want from this Fiend Randy Orton match, I'm swearing, because I will not be able to get it after not only two nights of WrestleMania, not only the entire madness of WrestleMania week and the final Wednesday night war and two bloody takeovers and blah, 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 blah. For 6 months build for a bloody singles match. You absolute bastards if you don't do this. For goodness sake. Right, let us know your thoughts ahead of night two of WrestleMania. And, you know, I know we're recording this in advance, but I'd still love to hear from you. Let us know your thoughts on night one of WrestleMania on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE. Watch that you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett. Enjoy WrestleMania, everybody. This is really, really good. Enjoy WrestleMania. Yeah. Nice week. We've all earned this one as a fan community.
Yeah, I can't wait. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And as always, make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling. You'll get our ASMR WrestleMania review in the small hours. You'll get all the fallout following WrestleMania next week, of course. And make sure you join myself and Phil Chambers and maybe even a brief cameo appearance from one Michael Hamflett for tonight's WrestleMania Night 2 live stream. But for now, my thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.